bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
It's a gamer show on the British Tech Network. With
I was Paul. We should do that again.
With me and Chiz and Sam and Bede is joining us for his what do you call it? Biannual? No. What do you call it, 2 times a year?
It's not 2 times a year. Well, it's 2 times a year.
Well, he's here for the quiz. He normally makes an appearance like 2 times a year on the show.
I think he was on 3 times last year.
Was he? Yeah. Oh, the E3.
Yep.
The quiz.
Well, he was on another one.
Were you?
It is massively important that we narrow this down.
If we just stop, I'll just listen to all 45 just to check to see how many times he's been on. Are we on 45?
Yeah, this, just is 45. Made this is 45. You would have to listen to 45.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to show 45. Jesus. We're confused about how many times Bede's been on it.
So that's probably over 45 hours of dribble he's created so far.
Well, it will be.
Oh, well, it is.
It's pretty awesome.
Quite often we go over time, yeah. So yeah.
I think we should do a charity thing, like for children Sweet in need, where we just listen to all of them back to back.
Yep. Without dying.
I don't think the children are that much in need.
I never liked them that much anyway.
Right, okay.
It's, can make like a competition. You know, you get, it's a competition where somebody has to keep their hand on a car. And the last one who's got... All right, but this would be far more dangerous.
Hand on Sam.
Yeah. These people have to touch Sam. I think it'd be over pretty quickly.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I could freak them the hell out.
Acidic nature of his sweat would pretty much...
Also the grease.
Yeah.
You know, I'm quite slidey.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they're hanging from you. Are you wanting to be suspended?
Could be.
Just what's a giant nappy.
What's that? Is there not a competition, one of these like cheese rolling type things down south where they have like a greased piglet? And everyone has to catch the greased piglet.
Are you proposing you're the greased piglet?
Yes. That is my dream day out.
I'm pretty sure Ed would catch you and pin you down.
Speaking of which, we've had some feedback from Ed from last, I think it was the last show. Grant, you expletive, sent from the underground love prism at Sam's new house. So I think we'd suggested that Ed Marshall was going to live in Sam's shed when he moved house in the last show.
He was going to help him move or something.
Actually, Ed, we're going to have to cancel that because just today we found out that the shed's leaking a bit. So I'm going to have to repair the roof.
Before you can move in.
Bede and I, actually.
You can't have a sex
and if
dungeon
you knew
with
us, you no, you can't.
Well, you can't have soggy corners
well,
in your sex dungeon.
Where are the manacles going to fix it?
Yeah.
Fix the manacles to the tarpaulin.
We're not having a tarpaulin. So, me and Bede
God, that's a silly idea, Bede.
It's a ridiculous idea.
If you're hanging from the manacles, you may have to reinforce the support beam.
Yeah, it's true.
Might fix your back, actually. You're hanging from manacles. Maybe pull
actually,
it back in.
To be fair, that's what did it in the first place.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, Chiz was spanking me a bit too hard, and I giggled, and it just pop. Something happened.
I thought you said it was when you lifted Paul a bit too high.
But anyway,
Paul's as light as a feather. Oh, how dear. Dare you, sir? Yeah.
Anyway, so we had that feedback. So thank you very much, Ed. We also had some feedback from Andy.
We're calling that feedback. Now.
Yeah, that's feedback. Anything you send
just
us,
abuse thrown at me. Here we go.
Anything you send us, we're going to read out. Doesn't matter what it is. Andy Vaughan, Gamer Show Fun Tunnel, had to leave my desk to wipe tears from my eyes and compose myself after listening to that whole section.
Well done.
That's twice now my colleagues nearly called a first aider because I'm corpsing so much whilst listening to your show, top marks.
Just a note there, we all had to go off and Google what corpsing was.
Well, no, to be fair.
Well, no, Chiz actually Googled it.
Yeah, me and you had to Google it.
To make sure.
Oh, right. Okay, I thought you knew.
No, and then Chiz informed us. But I was in the process of Googling.
I'd heard it before, but I had to Google to make sure.
Yeah, like, I think
then the date he might actually just misspell what he meant. Anyway.
I think he was trying to put coughing. It's the only
possibly.
Thing that came to my mind. Anyway, well, sorry about that.
Yeah, so that was funny. Okay, we
well,
also
it wasn't. It was us.
Hmm?
It wasn't funny. It was us. It was Paul.
You know, it's all right. Okay. I'm just trying to find more feedback that I should have actually looked at before the show.
Yep, that's always handy.
Here we go.
This is always the great part of the podcast when somebody has to surf the web and have a bit of dead air.
So Ewan Rankin of British Tech Network fame, I have a suspicion that Alien Isolation could be an A1 idea with a ZX26 application. What do you think of that?
I don't know what it means.
What he's suggesting is it's a really good idea, but it's not going to be executed well. Okay. Alien Isolation.
Well, from what they've showed so far, it looks like it's been executed pretty well.
Yes, but we've said that about games before.
Yeah, I know, but this when they actually showed it off, a lot of the journalists had to, like, hands-on preview and played it for a good amount of time, and all of them have come back pretty positive. Still, yeah. See what the rest of the game's like, but the actual basis of what they're going for seems to be pretty good so far.
Well, we'll wait
but
and see what
we'll
happens.
But I'm optimistic for it.
It also goes on to say, Cock Monkey and Arsegibbon and World of Tomato, proper classic movie feel, get writing, boys. Now, we have to admit, Ewan, none of us can remember ever mentioning the World of Tomato, so we're just wondering if it's like a spell check or something like that.
Yeah, that went over my head.
Yeah, we didn't really know, but we appreciate the feedback.
I was pretty smacked out at the time, so I have no recollection of any of it, but I am going to draw you a Cock Gibbon.
Yes, Nate, you're going to draw Ewan one, not me, yeah. I don't care.
What? You told me you wanted one.
I want one. I don't want you to draw me one.
I thought you wanted it drawn on your bare belly in lipstick.
I kind of thought that you might not mention that on the show, to be honest.
We could draw it a bit further down and it could be 3D.
No. I can't draw that small.
Oh, come on. Okay.
Dead here.
Can I have some more? Can I have some more of the apple and rhubarb juice? Mm.
Beads brought us a lovely bottle. Looks semi-homemade.
Which only I
actually.
Like it.
It's apple and rhubarb juice, I guess. Yeah.
Who's it from?
Is it a cordial?
Stemworth
a
Valley or something?
Chegworth Valley. Chegworth.
Keith Chegwood.
Yep.
Keith Chegwood's back garden. Nice.
It's been squeezed from Chegwood's buttocks.
Awesome. Anyway, right. Flying on into some fairly high-flying news here. First of all, a lightsaber has been found in Disney Infinity.
Gasp.
Next news.
Chiz asked me not to mention the first two news articles I'm going to mention, but you know what? I'm going to. But basically what this is Disney, a guy who has managed to get a hold of the last two Disney characters, I think it was Phineas of Phineas and Ferb, and another one, I can't remember what the other one was. And basically when you collect all the characters, you get a lightsaber.
So hang on, how does that work? Only one person in the world has collected all the...
So far, because...
How many characters are there?
There's quite a few, but they haven't been released yet, so he's managed to get like pre-release copies of these guys. Oh, according to the article. Okay. It's, yeah.
How did you break it?
I don't know, it just fell apart. I got the top bit.
Beast getting the...
Agent P, sorry, it's Agent P. Agent P and Phineas. The other thing is... all the news articles this week are filled with words I can't pronounce, so let's have a go at this one.
That's unusual.
Hey, just for the record, I listened back to the last show, and I think it was proof that it's quite hard to read off a news article or something like that, because you ballsed up the...
I've never read that in my life before. You supposedly read these already.
80% of words you do say, Paul, you can't say.
That's impossible.
Bravo, sir. Bravo.
Right, okay, so the glorious nation of Arstotzka, basically the country from Papers, Please, the indie game that Chiz played a few weeks ago and has met some critical acclaim, has been added to Civilization V as a country, as a mod country. In a mod as a country. And basically, there's a couple of things you can build. So you can build a border checkpoint building, your own custom border guard unit, which is essentially a cheaper version of a rifleman. Gets combat bonuses for fighting on native soil and things like that. So I thought that was quite interesting. No, okay, fine.
I'm eating. Yeah, it's fascinating.
Microsoft apparently are they're not apparently because it's actually come out. Microsoft are testing cheaper digital pricing. So this was an article that came out a couple of weeks ago by Eurogamer, so they were saying that Microsoft were suggesting that games would be coming out, or certainly Rise was going to be coming out at $39.99, which is likely to be around £30.
Is it though?
I think it's $35.
Well, it's actually come out for us. Yeah, it's $35. It's come
out. So they're not doing the usual.
They're not, but by comparison, Game is selling it for $45, and even pre-owned, it's selling for $40. Apparently, you can pick it up for second hand. It's for 38 at CEX, but you're getting a digital for 35. I mean, that's still expensive, but that's good.
If they did all new games like that for about 30, 35 quid, that's a good step in the right direction.
It is.
However,
it is. Steam, take note, please.
Yes.
However, Rise.
40 quid for South Park and Steam. Get stuffed.
I know.
Get stuffed.
Are they testing this with Rise because it was sort of a bit of a flop?
Possibly. It's not, I don't get sold as well as the rest of their exclusives, and their reviews were. It got some art reviews, but it was very much either bad to mediocre. But I've started to play. I still fancy playing it because
I do as well. I was quite looking forward to it, but I kind of went off
by
with
the reviews.
I didn't
want to pay full price. I'm still not tempted by 35 because I think I'll probably find it even cheaper than that later on in boxed version.
Time will tell.
I was just
going to
mention it very quickly because I read it in an article the other day. He was talking about another thing that was a flop, and it described it as a fat stripper on a pogo stick. Crack on. It's pretty good, isn't it? I love that imagery.
Yep, I was going to say, Paul's right now. There we go. There's our show title. The Gamer Show, like a fat stripper on a pogo stick.
Pogo stick,
a pogo stick. Should change it.
Okay, sorry, that was me. I've already given Sam a row for doing that tonight, so I apologise. So the time will tell to see if this actually travels across the rest of games coming out of Microsoft Digital. But it would be nice if it did.
But it's, I'd say, limited to one game at the moment. Hopefully the test proves positive and they start doing it with all
Thing is,
games.
Though, they probably shouldn't have done it on a game that's already been a bit of a flop. Because it's going to be like a false positive.
Well, it isn't. It's also leading up to DLC for Rise that's coming out on the 28th of February as well. So, I see what you're saying, but then equally they're having to try and build up a bit more steam to get people using the DLC in a week's time. So,
fair enough.
Yeah, but maybe that's what they're doing, but I take your point. Candy Crush are in the news this week. An article came out a wee while ago that's raised its head again in the wake of Candy Crush announcing that they're IPOing this week. Do you all know what IPOing means, gentlemen?
No.
It means that they are filed papers to potentially go public on the stock market.
Right.
They filed papers. It doesn't necessarily mean they definitely will, but it's highly unlikely that they won't. It's just the start of the process. Anyway.
Okay.
And so, Chiz, you were wanting to talk about this, and I think it's quite... We actually spoke about this in the Big Show on Thursday night as well, this is a company called CandySwipe, or a game called CandySwipe. It's a kind of a solo developer, and he's taken issue at the fact that King, the makers of Candy Crush, and the company that's gone public, has essentially stolen their game. And it's incredible when you do a bit of a Google search. In the article that we're reading on Eurogamer just now, it's quite clear, guys, I don't know if you've read this and you can see, but that's top one there is Candy Swipe, the bottom one there is Candy Crush. Candy Swipe came out in 2010, Candy Crush 2012. It's clear.
It's
quite easy to say it's a clear copy.
Hypocrisy, where he's like suing people for having the name, even Saga in the name, which even though the game's completely different. What was it, the Banner Saga?
Yeah, something like that.
Or basically taking a lawsuit against them to change their name, even though the game's doesn't even resemble Candy Crush at all. It just has the word Saga in it, which I think is ridiculous.
Yeah, he's basically just trying to claim trademarks.
He's obviously trying to shut down other places which he feels like it's King feels are... are copying Candy Crush, even though they kind of stole their game.
Yeah, and I mean, when you look at the screen grabs, it's quite clear it was a reasonable copy without wanting to say anything libelous.
So what you're potentially saying, although none of us would express these feelings, is that he's a dirty piece of who stole all of his ideas.
Allegedly.
Allegedly,
right,
yeah.
But, you know, that's just...
Yeah.
Someone who looked at it at face value might say that.
They might say that, yes.
But scum.
This is a problem with like Facebook games and app games on iOS and things like that. Is there's too much of basically theft of ideas and folk getting away with it, and then becoming a big company like King, and then even though he's stolen games in the past, is basically he's trying to sue other people for doing the same.
Yep.
Which is fair enough if they're stealing ideas, but the fact he's done it himself. Mm-hmm. Just like, come on.
Well, what were we talking about a little while ago? Where, was it YouTube now that was taking... All you had to do was go, yeah, that's mine, I've done that.
Yeah.
And they just take it down. It's the same kind of thing.
Yeah, I think a little bit more regulations has to be put
scumbagery.
Around these things. Indeed. And then when you've got a big company like King who have the money behind them, well, they must have enough money behind them to be able to go public. Mm. And then what you're going to do is a single developer guy and sitting in his garage trying to program a game, he's never going to have a chance to fight that in court.
No. Exactly.
Anyway, a bit of a shame. We did talk about length in the big show the other night, so it's a little bit more there. Now, I'm fairly sure this next story Chiz put in purely just so you could see me try and get my mouth around all the words in this. So, here we go. Capcom, we've got a lot of Eurogamer links in this week. Have you only read Eurogamer this week?
I was kind of bouncing around, just for whatever reason, found a few
articles. So this is Eurogamer, reporting that Capcom are truly surprised by Onimusha. Onimusha Composer's Admission.
Does anyone remember that game?
I had never heard of that game.
No, it was like a Japanese medieval Resident Evil-ish sort of game back in the PS1 and PS2.
No,
days.
I never had a PlayStation.
No. Also, it was actually real good. Like, I'm sure it's the second game, Jean Reno was actually, it was one of the first sort of times they've actually had an actor's likeness in the game.
Yeah.
And oddly, it was
Jean Reno.
Hmm.
So basically what the article's saying, and I'm struggling to get my head around this. So it's this 50-year-old composer dude, Mamoru Samuragoshi, has admitted that he's not completely deaf, and he paid somebody to write the music he claimed was his own. So he wrote the music for this game that Chiz just mentioned.
Well, no, he didn't.
Well, as it transpires,
the story behind it was he was a deaf composer who wrote the music for a few of Capcom's games, and now the story's come out that he's come out and admitted that he actually got somebody else to do the music, paid someone else to make the music for him.
Yeah, I get that.
And now it's come back that he's actually not deaf.
But, so hang on. The only excuse that was viable for writing that music was the fact that he was deaf. So you're now telling me that someone could hear
it was
wrote that god-awful music.
He was partly deaf, but not as deaf as he made out, apparently. So he can...
Wow.
Yeah.
Because he supposedly claimed he lost his hearing in both ears at the age of 35. And he's now saying that some of them have come back. But I'm still struggling to get my head around this. So this was a guy that Capcom thought was completely deaf.
Mm-hmm.
That yet they hired him to do the music on two games, Resident Evil and another one.
If you're criticising him for that...
No, I'm not criticising him for that.
Was it Beethoven who was completely deaf?
Yeah.
No. Let me finish. My point is...
He became deaf. Like what the idea was, like, I think he was actually losing his hearing when he was... a composer, but then can he lie to say he was completely deaf when he wasn't?
Right, get that. So it's kind of somewhere in the middle here. So we've got a composer who's completely deaf. So is the news article that we know it, the news article was that he was faking he was deaf, but...
And he didn't write the music, he paid someone.
And he didn't write the music. So it just seems a little bit like... I'm not following it.
He stole the money. What it kind of comes down
to. Well, it's subcontracting. I mean, as long as his contract didn't say he couldn't do that, I mean, people do that.
The person who paid to do it was well aware of what was going on, but they've all kind of come out now a bit about it.
Right.
Because the guy who's the composer, I can't remember what he's doing, he's got something out just now. He's doing the guy who actually wrote the music, he's actually come out and spoken about it. Now, since this guy's outed himself, the other guy who actually really wrote it has come out and spoken about it and whatnot, and it's just totally bizarre.
Yeah, it is.
Crazy.
It really is.
Crazy.
I still don't
crazy
think I feel like the hang
the
of
bus
this
actually
at all.
Met him and told me he was a ball bag, so...
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yes. Metal Gear Solid 5.
You know, allegedly Crazy Dave. Crazy Dave knows the truth.
Yeah, I know. I've just been speaking to the boys in the Gamer Show legal department, and they've asked me to keep a
you just keep having to say allegedly every now and again. That's what you're here for.
Allegedly.
Metal Gear Solid 5.
Gamer Show legal department, you're able to communicate with our
small the boys in the legal are tight.
Metal Gear Solid 5 again.
Metal Gear Solid 5 did something.
Apparently, like with
so
the
what
number...
what game are we talking about?
Ground Zero.
I'm not going to talk about this.
1080p on PS4, 720p on Xbox. Now that is quite shocking. I thought
we've talked about this before. What game was this? It was a release title had the same problem.
Yeah, it was
Battlefield
or something
like that. Why is
basically
this?
Every multiplayer game so far has been on a high resolution compared to on the PS4 compared to the Xbox One at the moment.
Is this because the developers thought that the Xbox was going to be lower, and so when they started development in these games,
it's, as far as I can tell, from what I've read online and from what developers are saying, is basically the PS4 so far is a bit more powerful. And the development tools are in an easier state compared to Xbox One. It's more advanced state on the PlayStation 4.
And the ES
RAM on the Xbox One for the DDR2 seems to be a bottleneck until they get over that, and then they'll be able to get the most out of it. If given enough time, I think once the development tools get to a certain degree. You spoke over me.
Because you never stop talking.
I'm finished my point.
Children, please, Chiz, please, sorry, tell us your information.
I'll kick his chair and make him scream.
No, please don't.
it's basically the PS4 is in a better state right now compared to Xbox One for development. The Xbox One will get better as development tools will get better, but it's just a sign of the times at the moment that the PS4 is in a better state compared to Xbox One and is a bit more powerful.
Is this the first... Sorry, Sam, you were going to ask something. No. Please, Sam, please.
No, I don't want to now.
It's going to be boring anyway.
I pooed myself. Can I go to the toilet, please? Is this a flip around from the last generation of consoles? That's what I was going to say. Because you say it's going to get better, but with the PS3, it never really did. They continually kind of had a problem all the way through,
for a long time, quite recently. Maybe the past 2-3 years now, to the PS3 has caught up to where the Xbox 360 is, and there was some up. For example, I'm sure Grand Theft Auto 5 was actually technically a little bit better on the Xbox 360 on the PS3 compared to the Xbox 360. So it is kind of roles reversed, where this time it's Xbox One's a bit trickier, and the development tools aren't quite there compared to its rival.
Is this the first Metal Gear Solid game that's been out on the Xbox?
No,
I couldn't remember.
Not on the Xbox. On the Xbox One, yes, but not on the Xbox.
Oh, of course, yeah. I didn't think there was any. I thought it was a PlayStation.
The first one that came out would be in the original Xbox. They did. It was Metal Gear Solid 2 Substance, I think, was the first one.
Didn't you buy a PS3 because?
Yeah, I did. I bought PS3.
I knew someone bought PS3 specifically because. Oh, is it?
It was a PS2 I bought. I remember you had a demo of it, and I don't remember what Metal Gear Solid it was.
Maybe 2, I think.
Yeah, it was when you were living in Edinburgh, and it was the one that the demo level you were on a ship.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I bought my PS2 for that, basically, for that game. And then probably played it about half an hour.
Yeah.
For that demo.
For that demo, exactly. So, are any of you familiar with the website about.me?
Is that one that's about me?
So what about.me is supposed to be this place where basically all your social media profiles kind of are in one place. And this is a company who's released player.me, which is supposed to be all of your gamer tags in one place. So it links up all your accounts and everything like that. And it means that you can see all your achievements in one place. You can also see all your YouTube videos, your Twitter, your Facebook, everything like that in one place.
Next article.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on.
I'm totally not bothered by that at all.
I'm terribly sorry to the person who made that, if you listen to this podcast, but...
Some people might like it, like proper achievement whores, but...
Yeah, well, Chiz is achievement whore. I am as well, to a degree,
proper,
and I don't
on.
Know that.
I'm not as fussed anymore.
Really?
Yeah. As if I was always achievement whore if it was a game I enjoyed. If a game I didn't enjoy, then I didn't bother, but I'm at a point where it's like... I'm enjoying Forza 5, but to be honest, I've got no real drive for achievements, and Bede's laughing out loud.
Well, hang on, I think Bede's laughing because a creepy-looking bloke with a moustache, who we bumped into earlier, told us that Valve denies that it's going through our browsing history.
I was just thinking they are in for a shock.
You should have seen what I put on the show notes beforehand.
So... It's been rolling around the internet all this past week that Valve is digging around your browser history and supposedly saving it, and some reports are suggesting that they're uploading it to their servers.
Is this supposed to be through Steam on any PC or just through Steam OS?
Through Steam on any PC, I believe. And the idea is, or the theory was, that it was going through to check if you've been on hacking sites or cheat sites or something like that for to know whether you're cheating, using and it's all part of this new VAC tool that Valve use. Basically, Gabe Newell was on an Ask Me Anything thing on Reddit, Oh, no, it wasn't an Ask Me Anything. It was just a public response. Sorry, I thought it was an Ask Me Anything. And essentially said no. And so Kotaku, the gaming website, Kotaku.com, has given us a handy TLDR version, which goes like this. Number one, do we send your browser history to Valve? No. Number two, do we care what porn sites you visit? And the answer is, oh, dear God, no, my brain just melted. And three, is Valve using the market success to go evil? I don't think so, but you have to make the call. If you're trustworthy, we are really trying hard to end and keep your trust. So essentially, most of this document was just about how much they want to keep your trust. And the tall and skinny of it is essentially that they may find references to these cheat sites, hash them in some way, and then but it'll be non-web entries, so kind of suggest maybe DNS entries or something, that for matches for those cheat servers blacklisted, and then fire them back to Valve's VAC service to say that you're a cheating scumbag.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to ask for a little clarification here. How does Steam have access to, say, Internet Explorer or Firefox?
Because everything inside, with the if you're inside like a mobile device, particularly iOS, everything's sandboxed, so different apps can't speak to other apps. But on a Windows platform and Mac, to a degree, depending on what level of security you got switched on, you pretty much have access to the file system.
That's just
that's how worms and viruses and all sorts of stuff work. That's a very, very big... I mean, I'm sure somebody will go, well, actually, in this situation, that's not true, but in a very basic level, yes.
It's rubbish. I think we need to switch off the internet till it gets fixed.
Are you need to rush up the road now, B?
It's all right. I've put an app on my phone that just burns my computer.
Yeah. Actually, literally burns it.
I'll get a text in 2 minutes asking my flatmate asking why there's smoke coming out of my room.
Well, he's locked. At least he's locked out of the flat.
No, he's broken in.
Oh, well, that's a shame.
I have no idea if I have a door anymore.
So there is a little bit of in-game footage for The Order 1886 comes out, and it looks lovely.
Yes, it does.
Apart from QuickTime, but it looks lovely.
Yeah, I'm a bit upset about that, but.
It depends how it works. They've said that like you can't fail it. It'll branch depending on what you do in these quick time events.
But some of them they can't actually get past unless you do some stupid thing that really doesn't affect the game at all.
Yeah, but they've said that it branches out depending on what you do in the quick time. You get choices. It'll branch off and it'll end in different ways depending on what you do. I don't know. Apparently, it's like branching. Even though
why do that through quick time events? Why not just like ask you the question? Do you want to save the little girl, or do you want to run and save the princess from molestation from the monks?
By Bowser.
Whatever. You know, why not do it through...
What was your choice?
My choice? It's a tough one. Probably just pet the dog.
So there's other funny little bits that look really pretty, but like in the video that CVG have got on their website just now, you open a box and you get this... quite nice looking gun.
During the cinematic. Or...
And you just have to sort of turn it over in your hands.
It's like an interactive cinema. You know, in the cinema, you're just sitting here watching it a bit, but this is like they're trying to put stuff in, you're interacting, where it's just kind of like, oh, I'm just going to rotate this gun in my hands while my friends talk about the plot of the game. I suppose it's nice to have a bit of into it, but it needs to be more than that.
But the facial.
I don't know. We'll see.
It's going to take quite a lot of concentration for me to not. Like, to be looking at shiny, shiny and listening.
Mm. I don't listen to story and games.
Depending
anyway,
on what you can all do with it. You can just, like, someone who's doing, like, a really...
I'll slowly load this. Like
a massive speech, and you're just kind of, like, flashing a gun in his face.
I would enjoy that.
That's one of the... It's baby steps in the right direction. Yeah. If they keep throwing in more and more interactive things into it, then it... Yeah, it all adds up.
In one article, said there was one bit where the characters were talking, and then you're supposed to press a button or do something to lift up to look through some binoculars. Mm. But it says if you don't press anything, they just stand there in awkward silence until you do.
I like that.
What's up? What's over there, Galahad? Galahad.
I
and
like
so forth.
That.
Yeah. No, it looks really, really pretty. If I haven't succumbed and got myself a PS4 by, what's quarter three this is supposed to come out, I will definitely have bought it.
They reckon this year, but one thing, I don't know, like, apart that they've shown off, like, say, it's been 10 minutes of footage, but at first I wasn't sure if it was just the video I was watching, but the footage didn't look very smooth. Mm. And it looked very, very pretty, but frame rate wise, it looked like it wasn't.
I didn't notice that.
Run that smooth. And then I read on IGN, and one of the guy who wrote there and saw the game mentioned it as well. He said that the game looked a bit ropey, and the frame rate would drop. And well, obviously the game's not finished, but for a game that's out this year, he made the good point of saying that if this is the best 10 minutes they can show by a game coming out this year, it wouldn't surprise me if it's going to be delayed.
Right.
And I thought that's a good point when you think about Alien Isolation, which is out in November, December, mm-hmm. and folk have actually played the game.
Yeah, that's true.
So I wouldn't be surprised if it gets delayed, but I'd say it's definitely a game to keep an eye on, and hopefully the QuickTime events, they do something with them that makes them better than just
If that game turns out to be as sexy as I hope it to be, that might be the calling card. Mm.
But I think it's going to be for me as
where
well.
Where my next gen game, purchase lies.
It's gameplay wise, it just looks like Gears of War, but I'm hoping they'll do obviously a bit more.
A little bit.
Yeah. But as long as it's a solid third person, really good fun third person shooter, then that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Irrational Games, who we know from the BioShock franchise. Ken Levine from Irrational Games, who was basically as far as I can tell, the figurehead, the main man behind the BioShock franchise, has decided to abandon ship and take about 15 members of the Irrational team, and will focus on more narrative-driven games that are highly replayable. So it sort of looks like if BioShock's to continue, it will be under the helm of somebody else entirely.
2K, because Irrational Games have basically been taken over by, were kind of owned by 2K anyway. And I take it what's been left their studio will carry on. And yeah, BioShock is now owned by 2K, so the next BioShock game, if there is one, will not be made by Ken Levine.
Yeah. So, interesting to see how that pans out.
What if you're the 16th member of that team that didn't get taken by Ken Levine? Yeah. Take me with you, Ken.
I'd feel fairly safe in saying that each and every one of us in this room knows what that feels. We've always been the last one to be picked.
Yes.
That was the laugh of pain from Paul there.
So, Fallout 4 news.
Is anyone worried about what sort of games Ken Levine's going to be making now? I'm worried he's going to just make crap little mobile games.
Yeah, it'll be mobile games. That's what it sounds like to me.
Hopefully not.
No, narrative replayable.
It can be good.
We'll see.
It depends. I think
surprises.
I think somebody's still got a crack, and I know folk will go, no, Angry Birds, Candy Crush and whatnot, but I think somebody's got to crack proper gaming on a mobile device, and I think that's still wide open.
Yeah. I'm vetoing this next article, by the way.
Okay, so the article
I'm vetoing it.
So you could veto it, give your reasons for vetoing it after I've read the article.
No, I don't want it read. It ruins and burns my dreams. Now just stop it and move on.
So the tall and skinny of this, essentially, is DICE. Somebody at the DICE Awards spoke to Rock Paper Shotgun about Fallout 4, and they have absolutely no plans to announce anything anytime soon.
It's Todd Howard, who's basically the head honcho at Bethesda or something.
Yeah.
But it's confirmed that it's been made.
Yeah, it's been made, but it's obviously far away from showing anything.
Well, they need to crack on.
Yes, Sam is very unhappy about that. And finally, guys, have you been following Twitch Plays Pokemon?
Yes.
Have you really?
No.
So, do you know, this is it. This is actually...
I'm aware what it
you're
is.
Aware of what's going on.
I don't get it.
So, what Twitch is... Are you familiar with Twitch?
Nope.
Sort of a gaming video-y type, shady...
Just like folk who live stream their boring gaming.
Exactly. So, somebody somewhere who is keeping very, very secret, but has confirmed that he is of male gender and lives somewhere in kind of the Australia type part of the world, created a little program... self-taught programmer, created a little program in an IRC chat, which is just a chat room, where people go in, and you can see it scrolling up the right-hand side here. People go in, and they give commands into the chat for up, down, left, right, and so on and so forth, and they all play Pokemon together.
Okay.
apparently, it's causing Twitch quite a few problems. They've had 300,000 folk and more. Their servers are really, really struggling, but Twitch are seeing this as a challenge, apparently. But it's been going, as far as I'm aware, for like 4 or 5 days or something like that now. But the bit that we're watching just now is basically it's two Pokemon having a fight. But what's really funny is when you watch the character walking about the level, because he just looks like he's having some kind of fit, because he'll walk up one, back again, left, right, down, and all over the place because of how this game works.
So is everyone just throwing in commands instantly?
Yes.
Oh my God.
You can see the commands scrolling up there. It's just wild commands. There was one bit that I was watching before, and all the character was doing was walking into the shop and back out again, and in and back out again, and in and back out again. That's all that happened.
So it was like other people trolling people want to play it.
Well, yeah, it seems to be. The guy's refusing to do interviews. As far as he's concerned, this is an experiment, and he wants the experiment to stand by itself, and he doesn't want to have anything to do with the... with it.
Yeah, which is fair enough.
Which is fair enough. But he's been asked, you know, could we do something like take the average...
Oh dear, they lost.
Take the average command, or what's the top command issued in the last 5 seconds, and then do just that, and do it like that. But at the moment, it's just constant. It's pretty extreme.
I actually thought Pokemon was something you played with cards or toys.
No. This is the 1990 version of Pokemon. It's been reincarnated so many times. Yeah. It looks like the Game Boy version. Certainly the one that I had in the Game Boy many moons ago.
Thing I played.
Oh, actually, sorry, it's been up for 9 days. Sorry, I only just heard about it 4 days ago. 9 days, 16 hours, 16 minutes, and 4 seconds at the time of us talking about this.
Just Pokemon being played constantly.
Yeah, by a chat room. I think it's quite a cool experiment.
It does push me towards suicide, though.
it does make you think. How long are some people? I can understand, say, like us just checking out because it's on a newsworthy, having a look at it and then leaving it. But people who probably jump on it and then spend hours on that just seems utterly bizarre.
I know what I'll do tonight. I'll go and fail to control the game that I really want to play.
And fail at life.
That's the chat room I've just noticed up the right-hand side there as well. So this podcast and all the others in the British Tech Network is brought to you by the awesome people at UK2. They're absolutely fantastic and you should use them. If you want to head on over to thebritishtechnetwork.com, click on the sponsors link, and then use the click through to UK2 in there. You will also see on that page a huge list of different discounts and things like that you can get. So VPNs, VPSs, domain names and everything like that. They're absolutely superb. I use them personally and I can vouch for how fantastically awesome they are. So please head on over to the British Tech Network, use the click through on there, please, and support UK2 because they support us. Okay, gentlemen. Chiz, what would you like to mention in our little preview section this evening?
Or do you want to wait,
Chase? Yeah, I'll go last. I'm trying to remember something to preview.
I think Bede and I would like to just have a quick mention of the Borderlands 2 final DLC, which I can't remember. What is it? Son of...
Sir Hammerlock and Son of Cromorax.
Cromorax.
How many DLCs have there been? There's been tons of DLCs.
Oh, there has. And they're all quite fantastic.
Four major ones in the first season, then the second season came out with Headhunter packs, of which I think this is the fourth one, and they have no plans to make more because they suck.
I've not played Borderlands.
It's exceptional.
You had a quick shot once, did you?
I bought it to play a multiplayer one evening with you guys, and then I've never used it again.
Well, you should play a bit more. Really it's really good. Funny.
It's one of those I struggled to get into. It's like I really liked the humour of it, and it was well written, and it was amusing, but I found the gameplay got a bit repetitive and I got sick of checking everything. Every gun I found, I said, is that a bear in that gun? There was too many items, whereas I spent...
There are a lot of items, I would agree with that.
I spent half my time just looking at my inventory. And I mentioned this to be the last week, and even as like as cool it is to play with three other people, a lot of time you go, right, check my inventory, then you're done, ready to go, you're then waiting on three other people going through your inventory. Ready to go? No, it's still in the inventory. Right.
Yeah, well, we did actually.
I'll go back at my inventory and when it's going. You spend like 60% of your time in the game looking at your inventory.
Which starts
to go, ugh.
Exact conversation in the pub at the weekend. But for me, even those bad bits are completely blown out of the water by how good the rest of the game is.
Yeah. It's
especially
just
as a co-op experience. It's
manic.
Just excellent.
Mm. It's manic. It's funny. It's the writing and humour is just exceptional. It's totally spot on. But, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's great. And Sir Hammerlock is a brilliant character.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's... gay bionic Victorian hunter, essentially.
Cool. All
right. Big game hunter.
Since we're talking about Borderlands 2, I will just chuck out, it's pretty obvious on Steam, I think, the article, but they've announced that at this point in time, they have no plans for a Borderlands 3. Mm. They intend to do it at some point because it's one of their best franchises, but nothing in development.
So. Right, okay. Oh, well. So when's this DLC out?
I think it might actually be out now.
Is it?
No, I don't think it's out yet.
If it's not out now, it's out very shortly.
So, I wanted to preview Order 1886, but we've already done it in the news, so...
Do it anyway.
That's it. Well, it just to echo what we said before, that's the first game I've seen, with the exception of maybe Watch Dogs, but Watch Dogs I'm sort of on the fence of, I'll probably wait and see reviews.
Yeah.
But that, based on what I've seen so far, I think that's if that came out tomorrow, I would go and buy a PlayStation 4 tomorrow. That for me looks like
depends
an awesome
on how
game.
It plays out, but yeah,
if it plays out to the level that we're thinking it is based on what we've seen so far, then I'm
it's
pulling
the first game that makes me really want any of the current gen consoles or the new gen consoles or whatever.
It does look really, really interesting. Supposedly, as we already discussed, quarter three this year, but as Chiz rightly pointed out, he expects it to be later than that. So, Chiz, what have you got?
I think
think harder.
Anything the rest of this year, I think I've already mentioned, but next, I think March is going to be a good, well, I think it's four games I'm planning to buy in March.
Right.
But next week I'll be buying Thief, which I've got for £15 from a PC. So,
wow, that's pretty good.
Even though I don't think it's going to be that great, but for £15,
I think it's still going to be good. Where did you get that? Where did you get that?
I don't have it yet, I've just got pre-ordered for £15.
Where?
CD Keys, I think it's called.
I want that.
And there's I'll send the links on the game show page.
You just buy it for me, and then I'll give you the money, so I don't have it showing up on my bank account. Not allowed to buy anything at the moment.
It will show up in the text message you get.
Tart.
But March, I think it's actually going to be well because January, February's been pretty stale for new games. But March, it's going to get exciting again. We've got South Park,
yay!
In the first week, I think, and then the week after that, we've got Titanfall.
Yep.
And then we have Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes and Infamous Second Son, and I think all four of them I'll probably pick up.
Cool. I still have a huge backlog from Christmas, so I'm not touching anything out of that.
Out of those four or five games, which ones interest you to purchase?
Metal Gear Solid, I think, is probably the main one for me, and maybe South Park, because I'm not much of a fan of the cartoon, but based on what you guys have said about South Park, I'll probably end up picking that up at some point.
I think it's pretty good.
Yeah. Get for PC, it's cheap, so you've not spent too much as well.
Yeah.
South Park, Thief, and Titanfall. I want all three of those.
Mm.
And speaking of which... What was the incredibly short beta like?
Well, he's going to talk about that in playing this week.
That's how we in the business do a segue, Paul.
Sorry, right. Please carry on.
You don't
on.
Have to announce that it's a segue for it to work. Yeah. The whole thing just moves swiftly on, quite smoothly.
If Paul could, he'd have a marching band announce his segues.
Right, so... Paul's ruined my exceptional segue.
Can me and Sam create like a sound bite so every time you attempt a segue, you can push a button and goes, segue!
Yes. Gonna do a segue!
Crazy motherfucking segue!
Oh, segue! Segue for you!
Anyway. Yeah,
I think I'm going to make one of those a ringtone.
Yeah.
They were quite good.
What was interesting about the NBeat?
Skull 3.
Was there anything interesting?
No.
Nope, you're not interested in Titanfall?
No, actually, Titanfall beta was... I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Really did. I didn't get to play as much as Chiz, I'm going to say that, because I got through the tutorial, played four games, and thought, I'll get to this on Thursday night. Thursday night... beta closed.
Yeah. We should have checked when it closed. I played it Monday, Tuesday night, couldn't Wednesday night because we were go-karting and killing people.
Wait, what? The beta's closed?
Yeah.
So I spent all of Tuesday evening downloading that thing, left it downloading, and it's like, it's fine, I'll play it later on in the week, and it's closed.
It's closed now, yeah.
Damn it.
I was going to jump back on Thursday night, and I got a text from Bede saying, it stopped. And I went, I maybe should have checked that. But I thought it would have lasted at least one or 2 weeks, but it didn't even last a week.
Wow, right.
But what we saw was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I will add, I actually hope they keep the tutorial the way they did it for the
full game,
for the beta, because it was like 14 sections, and it sounds really boring, but it was like section one, this is how you jump, section two, this is how you double jump. But it was great. It just ran through it. You got all of the controls for the game, and then it was done.
Yeah.
Right. One of the simplest intros ever.
You were straight in the game, and you knew everything you could do. Then it was like, what you didn't know was just basically sussing out the best way to take people out. But you had all your, you knew all the tools at your disposal.
Yeah. And it was just as good. It felt frantic. It was...
One thing that I found is when you're wall running, you hold down the left, well, depending on what button is on the PC, but you can actually hold onto the wall and stop.
Oh, and then yeah, you that would have been useful.
And then, which was quite handy if somebody was chasing you, so like you could stab into the wall and then they go past you and then you shoot them. Or if you try to get up on a building that's too high for your normal jump, you do your sort of double jump, hang on the wall, then do another double jump when you're up.
Yeah.
Which was quite handy. But it doesn't. So there's probably a few other tricks that they don't show you in the right. tutorial, but you'll pick up as you play. But really, really enjoyed playing it. It was excellent.
It seems like it's going to be a great game for getting some beers in, sticking on some good music, yeah. and just blasting away for a few hours.
I mentioned, Bede, we're just in the two nights playing it, of playing my best moment, even though there was loads of great, brilliant things happening. My best moment was when I was fighting Titan versus Titan, punched into the cockpit of the other Titan, pulled the pilot out and killed him. Then another random pilot, which is the dude who runs about before they get in the Titan, shot me, blew up my Titan, I ejected, turned invisible, dropped down behind him and snapped his neck. And I was like, yes! Xbox record that!
That's pretty sweet, actually.
Yeah, and I thought that was like, but it sounds like that was a hard thing to do, but it was just on the fly, and it was just like, that was absolutely brilliant. Yeah, you will die a lot, but once you get the grips with it, the first night I played it with Scott and Russell, most of the time we're in the losing team, and dying a lot, but then, although weirdly, once Scott and Russell left, I started to be on the winning team, and then on Tuesday night, even if you lose, it's still great fun.
One thing I was going to ask you: how long do you find your games were lasting? Because I was quite often jump in, shoot, victory.
There was three game types, but I only ever played the standard one where you have to get
annihilation.
Attrition. That's the only one I ever played. But yeah, they're all quite short. But
I could do with them being longer than what I experienced in my roster.
I'm sure. Well, it depends how the campaign works. But if it was just like a standard sort of multiplayer, if you could set one up, you could probably change how many points it takes.
That would be a good feature.
Because it was only like 150, but see if you knocked it up to 300, then it would last a lot longer. It'd be the first to 300 points.
Twice as long, in fact.
Yes, there we go. And I think what makes it good as well is even if you're not brilliant at first-person shooters, there's loads of AI running around which you can avoid, trying to avoid the human players and just kill them, because they all add to being on. Like if you kill loads of them, you're still aiding your side.
Right. So what you're saying is. Even if I do get it, I'm not going to ruin our team that badly.
Yeah.
Sweet.
The AI...
You can just focus on killing the AI and whatnot, yeah. and then...
Sam! No, there's real people that way! Go!
Actually, that was a really real strength to the game, although I wasn't expecting. There's little squads of AI troops running around, and it made it feel, for all there was a limited number of human players in the game, like you are actually taking part in a full-on urban battle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really enjoyed that little feature.
I think what makes it good, because it's 6v6 and the maps aren't huge, but if it was more players than that and all the AI you saw were real players as well, it would just be totally crazy. But the fact that AI, they're semi-dangerous, but you can still usually take three or four of them out straight on without too much of a problem. But at the same time, you can use AI to your advantage. If you're hanging around with AI on your side, it means when a pack comes in, he'll point not notice you and shoot the AI. Well, you can take him out. There's specters, there's two different kinds of AI. There's the grunts, which are the human ones, and there's specters, which are little robots. And if you run up to them and hold down the X button, I don't know if it's on the PC, you can hack them, and then you can hack loads of them, and they'll actually follow you around. So you've got a team of robots backing you up. Which is quite handy
cool.
as well.
I like the fact as well you can jump out of your Titan when you get... I'm just jumping from topic to topic on this, but you can jump out of your Titan and have it follow you around like a little armoured gun dog
thing. That's pretty cool.
And basically, if say if me and Bede were playing in the same team and we're both in Titans, you're best grouping together, working together, because two versus one Titan, you're going to win. Mm-hmm. Unless you meet, obviously, it's 2v2. But and even if you're if one is a pilot, you're still best sort of working together. If you've got a pilot backing up a Titan,
yeah,
it's absolute. I'd say absolute great fun. And there's so many things you can do in it as
I
well.
I guess the question will be how much content is in the game to keep it interesting.
And
but
I'm interested to see how the main sort of campaign, because it's not a single player game at all. When you do the campaign sort of story, it's still 6v6 with random people or all friends or whatever. So it'd be interesting
that
to see.
Kind of that irritates me a little bit.
But I mean, we need to find out how it works and how well it works.
Although,
if it's going to rely on your web connection. Yeah.
I am going to have broadband, and supposedly it's going to be not utter tossery.
Well,
so,
to be seen.
We'll see.
Very cool.
I'm looking forward to that.
Sam, you said you're not playing anything new, so we'll just skip over
you. I am not allowed to get anything at all. I have no money. Would anyone like to donate the Gamer Show games for me to play for the next few months? Because I suspect I'm not going to be able to play any new games anymore.
Fair enough. I have been playing Madden 25 in the Xbox One, which is pretty good. The smart glass thing's quite cool. You only use that for defensive plays, which I find a little bit interesting, but it's quite cool.
It's definitely not got.
Is that what you were doing when we came in?
Yeah.
Cool.
There's a number of different ways you can play. You can play free play, or you can play a connected franchise, and then you choose whether you could be a player, a coach, or an owner.
This is American foosball, Pete.
I know Madden was like one of the foundation blocks of our generation's childhood. Mm-hmm.
You're not allowed to say that one.
Oh, I know.
No, it's crap. Okay.
Yeah.
Apologise to the listeners.
No.
It's very good. As a player, I quite like that, actually, because I've been playing through a season as Tom Brady, who's the quarterback for the New England Patriots, and basically you don't play as any other player. You just play as him. So you only play when the offense is playing, and you just throw the ball, and it's up to the running back and things like that to do something about it. Your cables come out, it looks like so. Which I'm really liking. I'm really enjoying playing that. It kind of keeps you in the game all the time.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah. If you play as a manager or owner... Sorry, as a coach or an owner.
He plays as owner of the team.
Yeah, but you still play the whole team.
All right.
But you, in between matches, you have to do like press interviews and decide what you're going to say so that you're not lying or...
Do you not mean the manager or the owner?
No, it's the owner. The owner, I guess the owner and the manager are kind of the same thing, but you've got coach and owner and player. So you've also got to choose, like, as the owner, you choose, like, entry prices, ticket prices, and all that kind of stuff as well, but you play the full match. I think it's really, really good. I still play it online. My broadband's been a bit dodgy over the course of the last fortnight, so I've not managed to actually play it online yet, but I think it's awesome. It's an awesome little game. The smart glass thing's really cool for defense. Basically, it shows you stats. You only get this on smart glass. You don't get this in the game. So
boiling in here.
And it shows you like what the formation is of the offense and what they usually do when they have that formation. So if they've got three wide receivers and no running backs, it's almost likely to be a passing game, and so on and so forth. So
Jess, can you put more water on the coals, please?
Hang on.
I would highly recommend it. It's three. In fact, I think it's for everything. It's like PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, 360. Xbox One, but smart glass is quite cool in the defense. The only thing I didn't like about it was when I was lying in the beanbag playing.
Oh, sorry.
The only thing I didn't like about it was when I was lying in the beanbag playing. You were doing a bit like on the tablet, and then you were having to kind of throw that down and quickly get to your controller for a play as a defense because you're using that as your playbook. But pretty cool.
So was that the beanbag's fault?
It was the beanbag's fault. Right. Yeah.
Damn you, beanbag.
I'm just going to do another a thank to our sponsors, the Network Union, this time. The Network Union are an authorised BT business partner licensed to sell their global and UK services. Their experience has been earned from working with a large global and UK enterprise, but now also working with SMEs. So if you're part of a decision-making process across products such as a wide area network connectivity, MPLS, VPLS... Ethernet to internet leased lines. They have unique design workflow designed to align to your specific organizational requirements to BT's connectivity products. Basically, they're not a reseller. They don't add fees or margins or anything like that. BT are still your go-to guys for your contracts, your support, and your billing. There's really no difference. It's just that they are kind of there for add their experience over the top of it and really, really help you at no extra cost. So if you're an existing BT client, they'll instruct BT to look at repricing your connectivity, even if it's mid-term, so if you're halfway through a contract, anything from BT Business Broadband, upgrades from corporate fiber, Enterprise One connectivity, and so on and so forth. And if you're a new client, they're an ideal way to procure BT services that are available across the UK, meeting and internationally if you're global. In a nutshell, they're exceptional at connectivity design, and you're able to achieve the very best commercials from BT and remain assigned to your account throughout the contract. Network Union, support them because they support us. They're absolutely superb. They provide the pipes that pump Sam and Chizzy's voices into your ears on a fortnightly basis. It's pretty awesome.
If, on the other hand, you want to take a lawsuit against them...
Don't do that.
Allegedly.
Absolutely superb. Thank you very much, Network Union, for your support.
Thanks for pumping our pipes.
Indeed, indeed. Sam, you had Tiny Thief this week. How did you find that?
Hang on, I was playing something this week.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah, Bede, I actually want to talk about
Sorry, Bede, please, please, hold us up and put us over time.
Okay. Go. There was this game.
There's four of us, got extra 15 minutes, remember?
I don't think that applies, but
it does.
I'll rattle through this quick, then just Wolf Among Us.
Juice and a biscuit.
I was joking, Bede, please. Take as much time as you want, it's fine.
Juice and biscuit, please.
What?
Juice and biscuit, please.
That could probably be indicated in some way without actually needing to use up airtime.
Most of the show could have been indicated in some way without having to use up airtime.
Stick your head in the toilet bowl for 15 minutes, job done. No, I was playing The Wolf Among Us this week.
Thank you, cheers.
Is by Telltale Games, same format as The Walking Dead, so episodic releases.
Yep.
Really nice little storyline game. The basic concept is that all the characters from Storytales have been kicked out of the Storytale world and have to live in a really rubbishy New York slum. And you play as the big bad wolf who's trying to reform and be the sheriff. All shot in a really sort of film noir way. Really snappy dialogue, good quick time events. And it's excellent. I've played the first episode, I've played half of the second episode, which is out at the moment, and it's thoroughly, thoroughly good. And it cost me £2.99.
It's the iPad you're putting on.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it is. £2.99, price of a cheap pint. Admittedly, I did have 2 pints playing it, but
so I made it a £9 game.
Yeah, but it was effective. It's good. I recommend it to
very
people.
Very good. The Wolf Among Us.
That's the one.
So yeah, very cool. I think I'll have to play at some point after playing the season one of Walking Dead, which I really enjoyed.
Hmm.
Have you played that as well? Or have you not got into playing
it? I've played most of the first episode of The Walking Dead. And I'm a big fan of The Walking Dead. I think this is a lot better.
Sorry, I'm just opening the window so Sam doesn't strip off any further.
Dear.
Well, you guys could have talked. You saw I was away from the microphone.
Got my thong to go.
Yeah. Sam, you had Tiny Thief this week.
Well, I've got ball hanging out each side of it. Tiny Thief. You're not actually that tiny and the same size as all the other people. Just nitpicking there, but you are the same size. It's a bit cutesy. You're this little lad that kind of creeps around past guards who are either armed with spears or axes, but I don't know why they bother because you never actually come into contact with them, and you click on the screen and steal stuff.
What's that? You can't.
It's all right.
Even if you
it's
mess
a bit
up
cute
and poo, them,
and it's quite repetitive. Although there were some imaginative ways of getting things. So there was one in particular where you were releasing a pig that had been mistreated. I'd like to say not in a sexual way there. Before Cheers mentioned it. How did I do it? I released a chicken to distract the guard, then ran over and got the jar of possibly nuts, I'm not sure. Put them on the tree stump to distract the raccoon, climbed the tree, got the balloon, tied the balloon to the rabbit floated up, The rabbit jumped, no, ran along the thing. Then it chewed through the string, which dropped the goose, which chased the guard into the barn. And then I clicked on something else, and then it was done.
The pig was released, yeah.
Yeah, it was all right. It's so quite enjoyable. But
you abused other animals to get the pig out.
Yeah, yeah. Quite horribly, yeah. Actually. that rabbit looked really scared as it was floating out.
Because more than likely that goose was kicked to death in the barn.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the next mission was to save the goose that was mistreated. Yeah, I played it on the iPad ages ago. And that's why I got it, because it's quite a cool little puzzler game.
It's all right, yeah.
I quite like the graphics.
It was a little bit
repetitive.
But you are the same size as everyone else.
Yes, you are. Right. You're sort of... You are physically the same size, but your character looks like a child.
Yeah.
In the sense that it's...
He's not tiny, though.
No, he's the same size, yeah.
I wanted him to be, like, scurrying around through the massive strands of carpet on the floor or something. Yeah, so I found that misleading. Might sue him for that.
Okay.
It was all right. I quite enjoyed it. Little bit repetitive, but give it a shot.
Very cool. Chiz, what did you have? I forget.
I had Lucius.
Yes.
Which is basically, as I said before, an Omen simulator game where you play as...
I think it's the story of Chiz's earlier life.
Well, that as well, yeah, but there's no proof of that.
In a stylistic, horror-y
very poor dialogue, cheesy, random...
As I said, like, the story of Chiz's early life.
It's like, I really do feel the art team struggled. I don't think they've seen beards before, for example.
Beards are quite scary and difficult to look at.
But well, for example, I think, I've only played the first little bit, but it sounds like, you're a kid who's basically killing people who annoys them, but you have to do it by make it look like accidents, whatnot. And there's a detective who you kind of get, like, he's like, part of it's like a flashback. The detective's looking back and going, as if he's looking at his wall of evidence and whatnot. He's been, he thinks he's sussed at you're the key in all this, and he's looking back. And I do not. The detective is called Detective McGuffin.
I like it.
Yeah. And I particularly liked his description of how a maid, when, like, basically the first person you kill is a maid, and you lock her inside a massive fridge. And he describes her death as adventurous. I really don't get the dialogue.
I like him.
Is it possible it's like one of these games that's made elsewhere and it's been...
Quite, yeah.
Just like Google Translated. Yeah,
it does feel very much as if David Cage wrote the dialogue. It's that bad. And, you're the spawn of the devil. And you're going around basically killing people who know you. Like, one, the last bit I did was... No, not the last bit, but there was one amusing bit where... It's like, I can't even mind what the guy was. It was called Gene. He was like a friend of your dad's. And your character, Lucius, decides, oh, when he smokes a cigarette, it hurts my head. So, right, kill the bastard. you get rewarded by the devil, because the devil comes to meet and says, the more people you sacrifice, the more powerful I'll make you. So you get, like, special powers, like telekinesis and things like that. But for this one, I had to grab... Well, I sussed at Nicky's matches, because this guy, Gene, was basically... When I say chain smoker, I mean literally each cigarette lasted 10 seconds. And then he dipped back into his infinite box of cigarettes.
That is impressive.
Which I'm sure is something Bede dreams of.
Yeah.
So he has to go and light his cigarette somewhere else, so I got an oven, which I sussed he needed to tamper with, so it blows it up.
Nice.
So yeah.
Right. Okay.
Sweet.
But I think I'll just to laugh at how bad the dialogue is, I'll probably continue with it.
Okay. I had Kami. So Kami was this origami puzzle game.
I can see the joy in your eyes from it.
Actually, it wasn't bad. It was so basically
you.
What was...
have never lived up to getting him a truly torturous game. He always, no matter how sick and twisted it is, he always gets off on it somehow.
Even enjoyed Garden Simulator.
It's just, there is something dirty inside his soul that just...
So what this game was, it was a mosaic that had like three, four different colours in it. And you had three palettes then the bottom. And if you clicked on a palette, so say the mosaic had green bits, red bits and black bits. And if you clicked on the black bit and then clicked on the red mosaic, it then turned that whole area black. And you had to turn the whole mosaic one colour in like three moves.
Was it like a flat sort of paper sort of Rubik's Cube thing?
No, it wasn't even that. No. It was essentially, you had to make the whole screen one colour.
That's what I mean, like a Rubik's Cube.
But you didn't have to turn it. No, you didn't have to turn it. You basically, it was like, do you remember Paint when you were a kid?
And how did you enjoy this? Your description alone is
it was a puzzler. It took me, it was like a couple of times, I was like, oh, I can do that better. It was like, you were supposed to do it in three goes, and I did it in five, and I'm like, oh, I can do that in three, I can do that in three. And so I went back and played it a couple of times.
Right.
It was free, wasn't it?
It was like £2 or something.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth £2. I thought it was free. If it was free, then I think it was worth it. I actually don't know why they didn't make it on like a phone. It really lends itself to...
Is it not on iOS at all, no?
Not, well, actually, sorry, I didn't even check. I'm assuming it's not.
Stop squeaking.
But yeah, for £2, I don't think it's worth it. It's a puzzler game, but... Yeah. If it was like maybe 50 pence or cheaper, I think I would go for it. But
if you're interested, wait for a sale.
or not.
Chiz, this week you have Device 6 for iOS.
Device 6. What sort of game is this?
So, it's a surreal thriller in which the written word is your map as well as your narrator. That's it.
Oh, I think I've heard of this, actually.
Device 6 plays with the conventions of games and literature, entwines the story with geography, and blends puzzle with novella.
This, I'm pretty sure, has been getting rave reviews.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah.
I'll check out.
To draw players into an intriguing mystery of technology and neuroscience.
Mm. Wow. Mm.
So I will send that one off to you.
That sounds like an intriguing mystery.
Mm. Indeed it is. Chiz, what do you have for Samuel?
If you could bring up Steam, I'll tell you what to search. You can read it out.
Just while we're waiting here, I've got you nothing, Paul.
Really? Yep. That's never happened before.
Yep. I know, it's wild. So I'm going to take up
pretty
the
sure
mantle.
If you try, you give him syphilis or something.
I'm going to take up the mantle of finding Paul something truly despicable that he will not enjoy in any way, shape or form. And I'm going to show Chiz how to do it properly. What's that Borderlands 2 thing showing on that little advert there?
It's Borderlands 2 for $34.99 Game of the Year edition.
All right.
Sorry, Skyborn. That one.
Yeah,
Go Nippin.
Yep.
My first trip to Japan.
Go Nipple.
Nippin.
This is your game, Sam.
Okay. So this week you spend...
Right,
I like it already.
I am not going to be allowed to play this.
The week you spend in Japan will certainly be memorable. Get a taste of foreign travel offered by printed guidebooks. Enjoy a tour around Japan from the comfort of your own home. As the game's protagonist, you'll travel to famous Japanese sightseeing spots in the company of a pair of beautiful young sisters.
Can I just ask, is this going to be a bit like that creepy pigeon thing?
I really hope so.
Oh, dear God.
Okay, there's a video.
I think we were what? Oh, it's got good music. Can they hear this?
No.
Hang on. I'm going to put my headphones over the microphone.
No, actually, it doesn't.
They should be able to hear it.
This is just a video of a bunch of still images of two girls wearing really rubbish outfits.
Kind of manga-ish looking
Sam's
girls.
Sam's ideal game.
So can
No, it's not.
Can we run a sweepstake on the minute that the first horny-looking octopus turns up?
Oh, great.
It's even got a random picture of dinner.
That looks awesome.
That looks totally soul-destroying.
Well done, Chiz.
Well played. Right.
I think we might... Can we play that one together and record it?
Could be quite good.
I think that could be quite funny.
And we still need to, at some point, I was telling Bede about this, we should do it soon. I don't mind telling the podcast, but I've got Outlast for my PC now, so what we should do is I'll bring it around here, mm-hmm. and we'll set up and in a darkened room record with our recording software, whatever we end up using, we'll suss out something. but record Sam playing Outlast and me and you watching him in the background.
Right, okay, that's a bad idea.
Sam is terrified of scary games.
I am coming down for that.
Can you just remind me what Outlast is?
Outlast, the idea...
Oh, not me, actually, yeah. It's the listeners, because I remember exactly what it is.
Outlast, basically, I think you're an investigative reporter who's going to close down insane asylum for some sort of story. I'm not entirely sure what plot, but ends up getting chased in the dark by scary people with no weapons at all, and it's pitch dark apart from your camera. In certain areas, it's pitch dark apart from your night vision little camera, and it does look pretty scary.
It just sounds ridiculous. I'm not even bothered.
It's going to be brilliant.
But yep, we should do that soon, I think.
I have got a very heavy schedule. Very, very heavy.
No, your back's broken. All you can do is sit down on your chair.
Amy will make me paint in a wheelchair.
He'll just paint. He'll just have all over his house will just be this right up to about maybe 4 foot high. Right through his house, just this blue bit.
What, the... combined height that Amy and I can paint to.
That's our show this week. Thank you very much, Bede, for making the journey. It's very good for you to be here.
Allegedly.
If you want to contact the show, please email us britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at Paul Wheatley. Sam on Twitter at Dr. Nasty Flaps.
I think you'll find that I actually removed that.
Oh, are you no longer there?
No, I removed it from the list of things. There's just no point. There's no point even saying it. I haven't looked at it in months.
If you want to follow the network on Twitter, it's at British Tech. Please like us on Facebook and follow us on Google+. We will be back in 2 weeks with more gaming awesomeness. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but it's probably not awesome, is it?
Do you remember what was the name of the Twitter account a random person made up after Sam made one up?
Orange Orangutan.
It was Gorilla something or other, and they put a picture of a bloody orangutan on it. I was furious.
We should check to see if that Twitter account's more popular than your actual
I hope it is.
Okay. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye.
Segway.
Gonna do a segway.
Crazy mother. Segway.
Oh, segway. Segway for you.